This week, Netflix announced that they will be streaming the entire series of Dawson's Creek, the American teen drama that launched the careers of Katie Holmes and Michelle Williams, or Joey and Jen, as you probably know them as. Earlier this month, Beverly Hills 90210 marked its 30th anniversary, and who can forget My So-Called Life with Claire Danes, Jared Leto, and their on-again, off-again relationship as Angela and Jordan. Joining me now, Jen Gannon, to talk about the allure and the evolution of the teen drama over the years, how they started as escapist fantasies, but have gone on to become hard-hitting and indeed gritty, I think it is safe to say. Just want to check, do I have you? Yes. No, we. Yes. Why don't we remind ourselves how Beverly Hills used to start, please? The theme music. Oh, yes. And there we are, right back in Beverly Hills 90210. And even the music kind of sets up for us, Jen, just the type of escapism that was involved here. These were very rich teenagers living a very glamorous lifestyle that surely a few teens in the early 90s at any rate could relate to, I would have thought.
We had no idea what had hit us. I remember seeing it in my bedroom. We got a little TV in me and my sister's bedroom. We're very lucky. And we got to experience that on our Saturday evening. And I think it blew our minds as an Irish audience. Like, it was so foreign to our way of life back then. Like, the schools were these alien, glamorous realm where you didn't have to wear a uniform, the classes were mixed, everyone had a car, everyone had their own credit card for some reason, and they were all more concerned about who they were bringing to prom than, you know, worrying about doing honours maths next year or whatever. And they just had this extravagant lifestyle, and all we were used to was seeing Grange Hill. And Grange Hill to me at that time was like, you know, a documentary, a boring documentary. It was all leaky radiators and damp classrooms, and this was completely opposite to this. It was a million miles away from it. It was so much fun. Like, the kids in 90210, they were just reckless and wild. Yeah. And their behaviour was something out of like a Jackie Collins novel, nothing that we had seen before. Like, it was not the cartoon antics of Saved by the Bell or anything. And I remember the hype surrounding it before it actually came to air, and they were saying it was going to be risque, it was sexy, it was taboo, and it certainly wasn't a TV show that was for family viewing. It was marketed for teenagers, and it was about teenagers, and that's what really hooked people in. It was the first time there was like this demarcation between adult TV and children's TV. It was teenagers' TV for the first time.
All right, but even within those teenagers, there could still be some tutting going on from some of the characters. Let's listen to a clip now. This is normally the good guy, Brandon, played by Jason Priestley. Never did anything wrong until this scene, at any rate. He takes drugs with his girlfriend, Emily, played by Christine Louise McCarthy. Now, his sister, Brenda, played by Shannon Doherty, and her boyfriend, Dylan, played by Luke Perry, do not approve.
Brandon, are you on something, man?
What?
Yeah, the hood of my car, same as you.
Where'd you get that little scar on your eyebrows? It's so cute. I don't believe this.
Oh, hey, Bren, relax. I feel great.
I feel stoned, man.
Well, you're the expert. I mean that in a good way, you know? You handle your alcohol thing real good.
Look, shut up, man.
So negative. Really, man.
Bad vibes, you guys. Ouch.
I feel really bad for you.
Thanks for your sympathy, Emily. Look, why don't you guys just give me the car keys? I'm not going to let you drive yourselves home.
No, Bren, I can't do that because, number one, I'm not ready to leave yet. And number two, no offense, but I've seen you drive and it's not a pretty sight.
Give them... Here, man. $40. Jones, get in the cab.
All right, cool.
Cabbage.
Dylan, we can't just leave them. I mean, what if he gets in trouble? What if he gets hurt?
Brenda.
What if he hurts himself?
You don't get it, do you? He doesn't care. Not right now. Look at him. He's so high. He's king of the mountain. He's got a girl. Everything's fine. Until tomorrow when he wakes up feeling like hell and see what an ass he made of himself.
And there we go. Jason Priestley, Christine Louise McCarthy, Shannon Doherty and Luke Perry in a scene from Beverly Hills. Jen Gannon, looking at the evolution of the teen drama with us this evening. To what extent is that the way they handled serious topics? You know, did they really get in there? There's a teen pregnancy was in there at one stage, you know, drink driving obviously within all of that aspect that we had there as well. Did it get into any kind of nitty gritty look at these issues, or did it just, you know, skate along the surface?
It did and it didn't. Because it was the first of its kind, it really broke the mould, you know, and it still, it gave us those tropes that still play out today. Like you said, there was, like, you know, storylines about eating disorders, drug taking, binge drinking, teen pregnancy, and references to alcoholic parents. And, you know, kids were getting nose jobs like they were changing their hair colour. And that was the allure of it. But it had morals. And everything always ended up turning out okay for the gang in the end. They might get, you know, given out to by their parents a bit, but there was nothing too stressful for them. It was never overtly moralistic in its tone, though. And I think that was a conscious decision for Darren Starr, who was the showrunner of the Beverly Hills at the time. And he was only 27. And we know him now from going on to doing Sex and the City and Melrose Place and even Emily in Paris, the show for Netflix, the recent one. And I think characters made mistakes, but no one ever paid too dearly for them. Like, it wasn't big on guilt. And I think something that was huge was when Brenda and Dylan, they slept together, and it wasn't, there wasn't this huge consequences for them. It wasn't shameful. And I remember, you know, watching that in Dublin, like in my little room, just thinking that was mind blowing, really. And it just changed people's way of thinking. And I think it had a very, at that time, it was MTV all the time. And I think the way the show was cleverly edited and the way it used music, there were songs from R.E.M. and the Cramps and Chris Isaacs, they were all used within the soundtrack to great effect, and the editing was done like a pop video. That made it so different from your mum and dad's TV. It was so original.
The theme tune for Beverly Hills sets up a kind of a sheeny Beverly Hills lifestyle. The theme tune for Dawson's Creek, I think, a little bit more gentle. Let's have a listen. There we go. I Don't Want to Wait from Paula Cole, the theme tune to Dawson's Creek. A lot gentler, as I said, really, Jen Gannon, than Beverly Hills 90210. These were more, were they more thoughtful, more self-aware characters?
100%. I mean, it was a world away from Beverly Hills 90210. It was quite snarky and trashy, but this was very much, people used to say about Dawson's Creek that the teenagers themselves were way too articulate. They were very verbose, and they were a world away from the likes and you knows that inflected the 90210 script. And Kevin Williamson, who created Dawson's Creek, who went on to do the Scream franchise, he wanted the characters to be quite knowing and self-aware. But it kind of, Dawson's Creek came out at a time of the mid-90s or the late 90s, where you had that time for serious reflective teen dramas like Felicity and, like you were saying, My So-Called Life with Claire Danes and Jared Leto. And they were critically acclaimed, if they didn't really find a big audience. So Dawson's Creek was kind of like the populist version of something like My So-Called Life, where your teen protagonists were very tortured and clever and multifaceted. And we all know that Dawson is an emotional hero. I mean, anybody who's ever opened Twitter can see that gif of James Van Der Beek crinkling his face up and crying when he's breaking up with Joey. So it was a different, completely different pace to Beverly Hills, and much slowed down. Even, it's kind of more even bucolic. And I know that it did start with Pacey Witter, who was played by Joshua Jackson. He was the bad boy. He was having an affair with his teacher in the first season. But other than that, it was a much slower pace, and it was much more considered and philosophical than you would have been used to before.
Moving on then to the OC, I suppose there are a few laughs in here for sure, but it was the bringing of the parents into the storylines, I think, that was notable here.
Very different, yeah. The OC kind of, I think with the OC, Josh Schwartz, he had a lot to look back on. He had a decade of other teen dramas to pick and choose from, so it was self-referential, and it did manage to, you know, reference and ape and dismantle all the other teen dramas that came with it. And I think it successfully integrated the parents into the storylines, because they weren't seen as these old fuddy-duddies. They were younger and hipper, and they had their own storylines that kind of worked well with the teens themselves. And I think that changed a lot for the teen drama.
I wanted to finish up by talking about Euphoria. Let's listen to a clip. First of all, the character here is Rue, played by Zendaya, and even the theme, even what's been talked about here, is more serious than anything we've spoken about up to now.
The other thing about depression is it kind of collapses time.
Rue, are you listening?
Suddenly, you find your whole days blending together to create one endless and suffocating loop. So you find yourself trying to remember the things that made you happy.
Can we get closer?
But slowly, your brain begins to erase every memory that ever brought you joy. And eventually, all you can think about is how life has always been this way. And will only continue to be this way.
There we have Euphoria, a clip from the present day series. And Jen Gannon, just to briefly to finish up with, that is darker than anything we've spoken about. We're in a whole different world. Briefly and finally, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, it's HBO doing a teen drama. So as you can imagine, it does everything from talking about rehab to prescription drug addiction to gender identity and acceptance. It's a new world and it's a harsher world for teens out there today. And I think that's what Euphoria does reflect. If still being tinged with a bit of fantasy, I don't think anybody needs to pop upstairs and worry about all their kids now dabbling in prescription drugs, but it still does reflect the world that is surrounding teens at the moment, I think.
Well, that's great. Thanks for bringing us through that potted history there of the teen drama. That's Jen Gannon. And if you feel like a trip down memory lane and escape from reality, Dawson's Creek will be on Netflix from November the 1st.